Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we answer another listener's email. And like many people who enter into relationship, they began their relationship with a lot of complexity. A lot was going on, and it's left them in a place where they're feeling very disconnected. We give them some real, you know, practical tools to look at things slightly differently, and then also give them some guidance in rebooting their relationship and hopefully getting them more deeply connected than they've ever been. So stay tuned.
Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home. And it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson. If you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner, we know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And we are in the midst of continuing to get a lot of listener feedback and a lot of just people reaching out and continuing to share what's going on in their relationship. And it's interesting, there's like this underlying just sort of need where people are just like, I just want a little bit of advice.
Little feedback, a little normalization. And we're just so grateful that you guys are trusting us with some vulnerable information. Like we feel truly grateful for that.
Yeah. And we always also want to make sure that we just put it out there that, you know, we're getting a very thin slice of these people's lives. And so we do our best with that information to maybe provide insight based upon other people we've worked with over the years, definitely our own relationship. But at the end of the day, we know that it's most important if people need that therapeutic intervention, they need help, that they get help, you know, within their community or through something like BetterHelp or, you know, somebody who can really give them the treatment that they need, the support that they need. All right, so I'm going to begin today and read this email, and then Tara is going to kind of jump on in.
Absolutely.
And yeah, here we go. All right, so.
Get those readers on, honey.
I got them. All right. Hi, Tara and EJ. Firstly, thank you both for the great work that you're doing through your counseling and sharing such valuable advice via your podcast. So you're welcome. Thank you. I recently started listening to your podcast and reaching out in hopes of some guidance. A little about my marriage. My husband and I dated for about a year before we got engaged, which was right before COVID. We ended up having our court marriage soon after. We waited to have our larger ceremony to celebrate with family and friends, and that ended up being rescheduled twice, but we finally did have our ceremony. Part of the rescheduling was due to COVID, of course, but the second reschedule was because my mother-in-law was in very serious condition in the hospital. She ended up passing away, and since then I've felt very disconnected from my partner. Your episode on handling grief and intimacy was extremely relevant, but despite some couples counseling and even our own individual counseling, I still feel like we're struggling to connect on a deeper level. It's made me reflect on our dating days and COVID days. And while there were normal arguments during our dating days, I'm wondering if maybe we rushed into things going off those superficial checklists of what we should be doing in life. There were a couple of times during COVID where I felt like, what have we done? Maybe this isn't going to work. But I remember thinking it felt like too late since we had already got court married. I guess there are many underlying issues such as lack of emotional connection, lack of intimacy, possibly slight distrust, feeling like his sister is a priority over me, and ultimately maybe just wanting different things out of a partner. We get along well as friends, but I feel like we're missing that deeper connection, and I'm not sure how much longer to keep trying. I understand every couple's situation is very different and nuanced, but I just wanted to reach out in case you both had any additional tips or any guidance. We don't have kids yet. I guess it's looming on me, and I really want to have a more stable relationship with him.
Yeah. So, you know, so what I'm feeling from that listener email, thank you again for sending that in, is just a profound amount of confusion and grief around feeling connected with this person that they fell in love with And also, the amount of transitions that this couple has gone through together in a very short amount of time, from engagement to married to COVID to loss of a parent. I mean, there's just a lot here.
Yeah, and super early on, you know, right. like so many, you know, so many of the couples we see, so many of the emails that we've received recently are this sort of theme of like a lot happening very early on. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, sort of getting into a place where like, gosh, does this work?
Well, so one of the first things is like hypervigilant time. I just remember the time of COVID. Not even like to put aside the fact that you're engaged and now getting married. COVID really triggered a lot of trauma and hypervigilance for a large population. People were passing away. We were scared. It was fear-based. So our brains are already in this like hypervigilant, unsafe feeling. And that's a lot to handle. But then to have the transition of a marriage in having to reschedule the wedding a couple of times, and then the loss of a parent. I'm just imagining right now, there is only so much the human heart and brain can process. I mean, I know for us, just getting married was like a huge transition. And then, right, 2 months later, we're pregnant with twins. Like, what? So I'm just, again, I want to normalize that this loss of disconnection, it could also be that there wasn't space to process all of the transitions and grief. And then when that happens, we kind of go into this story of like, maybe we just shouldn't be together. Maybe we rushed into it. We don't make sense of it because we're not online really in our frontal lobe, if you will, in our cortex.
Yeah. I mean, because I, you know, over the years, seeing so many couples, like, no matter what way your relationship begins, yeah, it feels like there's a point where things become troublesome, where you look at how it began and think like, well, oh, it's because of this. Like, you know, like I've heard, you know, couples who got together when they were 14, 15 year olds, and then they are in counseling in their 20s or 30s and like, oh, we should have never got together so early. And then there's people who, what, we were engaged for like 7 years and it went on forever. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should have never got married because if we didn't get married early on, you know, it's like there's always a way to look back to data and say like, well, that's the reason. And I think like what that speaks to is just that we come together in a variety of different ways. Right. And sometimes there's like a total honeymoon or fairy tale version of it. But most of the time, it's not, right. You know, most of the time it's not.
Well, so when this listener reached out and said, right, the mother-in-law had passed away when she had gotten sick, right? I think it was shortly after they got married, she felt like she lost her husband. Like, what was that process like for them? A lot of people don't know how to process grief in healthy ways. And so then it kind of transforms into what we call complicated grief. You're kind of cut off from yourself, which then cuts you off from your partner in other parts of the world or other parts of yourself and others. And this sense of belonging is kind of ruptured. And in our society, in our culture, we don't give a lot of time for grief, right? Other cultures, like they let people, like, we've got you here, take a month off, whatever it might be. Like there's just something really precious around allowing someone to have the space for it. And in our culture, it's like, yeah, just get over it. They passed away like a week ago. This should be. And so again, like that gets trapped in our bodies and then we feel sad, we feel hopeless. And then imagine like this new relationship, like a new transition, marriage, yeah, but you also have this feeling of like your belonging has like left you. And then there's sadness. And then when we're with each other, we mirror each other. So then we internalize the other person's sadness. So I guess one of my first things with this couple would be, what was that initial grief process like for them? How did they handle it?
Well, and I think it's like, it's hard enough to know how to support your partner going through grief and a significant grief of, you yeah. know, a parent. Yeah. You know, it's hard enough whether you know them like very deeply and understand them and understand their patterns and how they might retract or, you know, how they might deal with grief. But going through a significant stressor like that, also early on in the relationship, also at a time where it's intermingled in them actually getting married or not getting married, that, you know, and in the midst of COVID, where like everybody was like, what in the world is going on? And life doesn't feel normal at all. I mean, I think that would have made it really difficult for this couple to be connected in that grief process. Yeah. which then, if you're not connected in a time of transition, a time of like real like emotional need, then makes you sets up a tone of disconnection that maybe they haven't been able to sort of get out of.
Or even like, I mean, they had to reschedule twice their celebration of their commitment to one another. Like, I know we have our anniversary is tomorrow and we don't get to celebrate it because we have basketball games all day. And I was like sad about that because I had this expectation of like, oh, EJ and I will be able to be together for a few hours and have some quality time. But what were the expectations of that day? And then how did it shift? And how did they talk about the grief of not being able to celebrate the way that they wanted to? The COVID happened and it kind of just put in a huge obstacle for that. Like I can't speak for other people. I think of my wedding day since I was a little girl, right? Yeah. 30 years. And like, I just know how much I built up around that and that story. And like, you know, what was it like for them to like have built it up and built it up and then bam, this pandemic hits and like things just get, you know, could have been crushing, but then you don't talk about it and other things start to happen too. Again, I'm just bringing in sadness, feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness, then the sense of confusion, which then we lose access to compassion and empathy, which then you feel disconnected. Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this.
Yeah. And I guess I'm also finding myself, you know, sitting here thinking a lot about this husband and just, you know, going through the loss of your mom. Mm-hmm. And how well he's been able to really process that, you know, and how well he's been able to understand, you know, what he's feeling and the idea of his mom not being at his wedding and all of these things with sort of a new partner of like, you know, she's just figuring out who he is, you know, and was he able to really open up to her in a deep way about what she's been going through? And what happens, Tara, when somebody goes through, when a couple, one person goes through something really intense and they're not able to be really deeply transparent about their emotional process?
Well, the other partner is left feeling alone because the person who's going through that suffering is going through it themselves and not letting people in. And then it starts to just feel very confusing.
Yeah. Which, okay. Like this, like bumps then into what you were saying about, because she said she feels like the sister, you know, is maybe prioritized over her. And I'm thinking, well, gosh, he went through the loss of his mom. He's with a new partner. Who's the person that he's probably going to connect really deeply with about the loss of his mom, his sibling, right? He's going to, that may have really bonded him and his sister more deeply, which then is creating all of this like tension for the wife. Cause the wife is saying like, I want to be the one you come to. I want to be the one when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're struggling. And he may be defensive about that as well. And so it's an important thing though, to look at that. It's a normal thing for your partner to want to be that person. And even though it's your sister, it's normal for maybe your wife to be a little jealous of the fact of like, I'm not that person.
Well, jealous and also maybe cautious because her partner lost his mom. Like maybe she feels like her needs aren't as important right now, like letting things kind of go to the side. And I mean, I know, you know, EJ lost his sister very early on in our engagement. I think we had just...
It was prior to, we got engaged a month after she passed away.
And like needs what? Like I was just there for each, like I mean, I'm sure I had needs, but I just like, there was this automatic assumption, like I'm not important. Like we'll just, wedding whenever. Like I just wanted to be there for you and for your parents. And so I didn't know how to set boundaries is kind of where I'm going with this. Because if there is an outside relationship that's starting to impact your intimate connection, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, you know, Dr. Stan Tatkin calls it thirds in your relationship, you have to be able to look at what's happening and set boundaries. But if your partner is going through a time of grief, like people are scared to set boundaries, like they're trying to caretake.
So I feel like we've identified a lot for this couple. Yeah. And it's like sort of this, like we've used this metaphor before. It's this like soup where everything is together and it's caused some disruption. And one or both of them has gotten to this place of being like, wow, is this, can this work? Right. But if there was like one like real theme that I think it's important for this couple to take on is the fact that, yeah, there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. It happened early in your relationship. And I just bet their sense of really knowing each other got really disrupted.
And some grace, I feel like, is really important here because you guys did go through a lot in a short amount of time. You've been together for what, like 4 or 5 years at this point? And you've had to deal with a lot of complicated emotions and complicated issues, right? From the pandemic to losing your parent, to grief, to boundaries in the relationship, to feeling disconnected. I mean, it's a lot, and we can relate because a lot of stuff happened for us early on. But there was this thing I was compelled, like this listener says, we have a great friendship. Yeah. That's where I want this couple to start.
Yep.
What? Because if you have a great friendship, I have goosebumps right now. That's huge.
Yeah.
And that's what we always had.
Yeah. And one thing she said also is they've gone into counseling and even some individual stuff. And that maybe there's some frustration that it's not achieving what they're hoping. And so for me, like what's like just like jumping out is getting into more of a positive mindset.
Absolutely.
And sort of positive psychology approach to this.
Yes.
That instead of it being about dealing with problems,
yes,
and finding solutions, that you guys really shift your mindset to a place of like, let's get back into just knowing each other, of just dating each other. And one real like
there's
strength
no kids
that these
yet.
Well, yes,
there
exactly.
No kids yet.
I'm thinking
you can
like
still do it.
Yeah, your life is not ultra as complicated as it might get once you have kids and everything else. Is that really just like double downing into like, let's date again. Let's do some activities. Like we have a podcast episode a few episodes ago called The Six Words, where you define like what are the six words that are gonna just be what we want our relationship to be.
Yeah.
To get a question book, the book of questions, the book of ifs, I think it's called. And every Friday night sitting down for 45 minutes and asking each other questions and just getting into that like hardcore curiosity about one another.
And this is really important because when you are just problem focused and you're just like, what if this isn't working? You do not have access to the type of compassion and empathy that is actually going to make you feel connected to your partner. Yeah. And I always like with our relationship, I say bad rehearsal, good performance. Like it was a total shit show. But now, right, we are learning how to perform with the skills that we have, but we had to get really good at it and it took us a really long time, but we stayed connected that like, I love this person. We have a great friendship. He's like the person I most respect in this world, even though he's annoying the shit out of me and pissing me off.
Just this morning, I was annoying the hell out of you, I could tell.
But you can't get there by focusing on problems. You have to be able to like not set the suffering aside. You always want to recognize it, but start to build new neural networks. So now you can have access to your cortex, which then allows space for compassion, empathy, and connection.
And you have to be like patient a little bit also. Like I bet if we say this to you like, hey, start dating each other again or start doing these books, at first it's going to feel a little bit awkward because you guys have fallen into some sort of pattern of feeling disconnected
and story,
and also big time that there's some narrative that maybe one or both of you is thinking of like, I don't know, maybe we're not meant for each other, you know. And once we start up those narratives, you know, if I have a negative narrative about Tara, all it takes is one little look that she gives me or one little thing she says and it auto launches and it's like, see, she doesn't care. I don't matter, blah, 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 you know, and it's just like it takes off from the races. And so both of you really being really careful about what are the negative narratives that we're saying inside our own heads about each other and about our relationship. And when those come up, I'm just going to say, hey, I notice it. I'm not going to fight it, but there it is. But, you know, right now I'm choosing to be with this person
and give attention elsewhere.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get to know them as Stan Tatkin says, I'm going to become an expert in this person.
And just know, like, that sense of belonging, like, right? That's why we plan weddings. That's why we want to get married. We get to belong to each other. Like, get back in touch with that sense of belonging.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, one of the biggest things we do at the beginning of our work with couples is we just hold the hope.
Yeah.
Is that this can be better. And so that would be another thing I just want to impart from, like, our heart to you guys' hearts is, you know, yeah, it's been tough, but it could be better. It could be an amazing relationship. You could come to understand each other so much more deeply, and you could use these difficulties and being together in difficult times as ways in the future where you inevitably will deal with difficult times, that you'll be much more connected in it.
And one thing that we really get stuck in is the story of how we thought our life would be, and then fantasizing.
Tell us, like, more about that, Tara. I know that's foreign to you.
Oh, God, I'm taking it away. So I'm dating myself. But no, we get stuck into that story of, like, what it should have been, what it could have been. And that takes us away from actually working on intentionally creating the connection with the person right across from us.
Making it what you want it to be instead of hoping it will be something else.
Yeah, and you want to just catch yourself because...
Yeah, that sort of fantasy thinking can be a big problem. I think it's a cousin of what you're talking about, like what it should be. And then it's like this, maybe it'll be so much better without them. But what we've discovered so much in work with couples and our own relationships is, you know, problems reappear with different people, you know?
Yeah. As I was watching The Bachelor last night, and they're all having their first date.
Oh my God, you're so in love with this new Bachelor.
Oh,
I feel like.
Oh my God, he's amazing.
He's like the new Jack from This Is Us. Like, we're,
but it's like, they're all so happy and, you know, they're standing up dancing in front of a concert crowd. And like, all I could keep thinking is, just wait. I know that that's jaded, but like, I could see how people get lost in that. I don't have that. We don't have that chemistry. We don't have that bond. And it's like, if you're really skillful, you will reach a place of habituation with your partner, but it feels really good and safe and stable. And you don't need that constant newness or that like crazy passion. It's just a different feeling, but we get lost into that romanticized piece. So anyway,
absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for, again, sending us that email. And for any listeners out there, and as you've been listening, we try to every other episode answer an email. Again, we can't be your therapist, but we can definitely provide some support and some feedback with the knowledge that we have and also the relationship skills that we learned through our own challenges. And so please just reach out, and we are here to provide whatever we can, whatever resources, support we can.
Yeah, so thanks for all of you out there listening. Please subscribe. Please give us a review. Give us a like. Tell one of your friends, one of your family members about the podcast. We love to see just this community grow and grow. And that, you know, we grow together. The more of us there are sharing our stories, just like we share our stories, this listener shared their stories, you know, we can learn from each other, we can realize we're not alone in it, and we can all become our best selves together.
And as always, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Me and you just singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain, me and you, we are the same.